Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. How you doing? Chase McCabe here with you every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock and also on demand throughout the week at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com, and wherever you get your podcasts. Just subscribe to Chasing Checkers. We're on Google. We're on Spotify. We are on Apple as well. So be sure to check out the podcast, because a lot of times some of the guests you hear on the show, like the ones you're going to hear today, you can actually hear through the week as well, because we put that stuff on demand immediately before it airs on Saturday. We have a fantastic show planned here today. Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, Bubba Wallace, they're all going to be on the show. The Busch brothers and Bubba. That is our theme today. So we were going to talk to them. But first, we got to break down Sonoma, the road course out in Northern California. And once again, we're talking about Hendrick Motorsports, and we're talking about Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson gets his first career road course win. And once again, he was the class of the field, leading the most laps, 57 of the 92 laps. He led those. And the guy he ended up beating, he held off, was Chase Elliott, who has become the road racing ringer. But as we said last week, we told you this, Chase Elliott, of all the road courses that he's been on, Sonoma has been the one that has given him the most trouble. He only had the one top five in four starts and no wins, and he finishes second to his teammate Kyle Larson once again. Martin Truex Jr. comes home third, Joey Logano fourth, Kyle Busch fifth, Kurt Busch sixth, Ross Chastain seventh. Good run for the Ganassi guys there. Denny Hamlin, 8th. Alex Bowman, 9th. Ryan Blaney comes home, 10th. So that is the top 10 at Sonoma for the Toyota Save Mart 350. And no points-paying race this week because of the All-Star race at Texas. The next points-paying race will be the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway. So very, very excited that that's going to be happening in a few weeks. And again, we're going to talk to Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, and Bubba Wallace today, and we will get into Nashville and what that is all like. But Larson continues his dominance. 3 wins on the year, and we all agree that it could be more. In fact, I asked Vice President and General Manager of Hendrick Motorsports, Jeff Andrews, who spoke to the media in place of Rick Hendrick. I asked him about that, of just – how, what he expected and how surprised he's been that it's come together so fast to get those 3 wins, and what could have been more.
Obviously you knew that Kyle was a talented driver when you brought him in, but did you expect it to all come together as quickly as it has? I mean, not even halfway and already 3 wins, could be even more.
Yeah, I think certainly you hope for things to work like this. I think the thing for that race team and Cliff Daniels and that group of guys, you know, we started putting that, together a little over a year ago this time. And, I think Kyle, obviously, we're extremely fortunate to have him behind the wheel of our race cars, obviously a tremendous talent. But I think, Cliff gets a lot of that credit as well for what he's been putting together and what he's been working on as a race team. Because I think sometimes we feel like those things take a little bit more time, is to get the depth in that race team like he has. Then certainly Kyle hopped into some great race cars there. And I think when you get those two combinations working together, you start to get the results very quickly that we are.
I'm going to sound like a broken record because I feel like I've been saying this really since he got the ride, but especially in the last few weeks. Kyle Larson has always been a talented driver. We knew that Kyle Larson could drive a race car and could win races. I mean, the guy, he runs everything. Like, he runs dirt and modifieds and all that stuff. But we also knew that he was going to be able to win and succeed in a cup car. He's going to compete for championships. Hell, he might even win. And I think right now he's certainly the favorite to win the championship. I mean, he is 47 points behind Denny Hamlin for the regular season title, and nobody thought anyone would catch Denny Hamlin for the regular season title. And that's saying a lot because Denny hadn't won a race. Kyle's won three. The guy knows how to drive a race car. And he has shown it that it doesn't matter if it's an oval or a street or a road course, whatever. He was able to do it. And a question that I asked him post-race was, is this the most confident that he has ever felt in a cup car?
Kyle, would you say that at this point in time, is this the most confident you've ever felt in a cup car at any point in your career?
In a cup car, yeah, probably. I've talked about 2017 being a really good year for me, but I would say this is better for sure. Now we've got three wins at this point in the season and a lot of other seconds and top fives. So, and right now I feel like we could go to any racetrack and be good. You know, there were still times, I think, in 2017 where, yeah, we won a lot and ran up front a lot, but there were still races where we were just average. But seems like this year we've been strong at every racetrack. So I feel like I'm confident as a driver and in what I've been learning and getting better at. I definitely feel like I'm a better driver than I was in 2017, but our team is also extremely good right now. So for sure, I think all of us on the five car and everybody at Hendrick Motorsports for that no matter is confident right now.
He should feel confident. He's in the best equipment that he's ever been in. Hendrick Motorsports is running the best that they have in the last few years. I mean, they're clicking on all cylinders. Because here's the deal. This is how NASCAR works. You guys and girls all know this. But Larson could be on a tear right now, and then here in a few weeks, Chase Elliott gets on a tear. And then maybe Byron gets on a tear. Or Bowman. I mean, Bowman has two wins on the year. They're just all feeding off of each other right now and able to really make something happen here. But that the confidence is showing because I think for a minute, Larson was a little bit frustrated because he was having these solid runs, he was dominating, and he wasn't winning. He wasn't getting the checkered flag. I was there at Dover. He dominated the race, and the only reason he didn't win the race was because Bowman's crew was phenomenal on the pit stop, and it's just very difficult to pass there. Couldn't catch him. Couldn't get to him. Bowman was able to check out in clean air. So I think that frustration was like, damn, I'm doing everything I need to do, but not able to close these things out. So I get that, and I know that is difficult. But now he's shown once again that he could go out there and win a race on a road course when he's been – so dominant on these ovals, and he was dominant at Sonoma once again. And he talked about, after the race, talked about winning at Sonoma and the runs that he's had there, but being able to close it out.
I think, you know, Hendrick Motorsports and just the cars that they bring to every racetrack right now. But today, you know, I think our car was better than Hendrick Motorsports has been here in the past. And so I think that helps my job out a lot. But then also, I mean, there was definitely, I put work into it this week by looking at a lot of SMT and things like that. And, Josh Wise, I work out and do not just work out, but, you know, I do a lot of stuff with him and he's hired on Scott Speed to kind of work side by side with him. And, you know, Scott's one of the best, you know, American road racers we've ever seen. So, you know, getting to pick his brain a lot and look at areas where I've probably struggled in the past. And Scott really helped me this week of like, I had a, you know, my mindset and how I thought you needed to outbreak people, which was, you know, opposite. So what you really need to do. So talking to him, I felt like I got a lot better outbreaking people and, you know, I was able to pass people really easily. So I think having him was a huge benefit to me, as well as, you know, Ross Chastain and Reddick and Bowman, who ran pretty good today until he had his crash, it looked like. But Yeah, so I think we have a really cool thing going throughout the week, and it definitely helps prepare all of us drivers who work out with him and Scott, Josh and Scott, to be good for the weekends.
And you heard what he said. He said Hendrick Motorsports. That's how he started the answer to that question, Hendrick Motorsports. And Cliff Daniels, his crew chief, said in his post-race availability that, you know, it was that the Hendrick was a little off at times. The last time they were at Sonoma, the Chevys were a little bit off, and so that has certainly helped. I mean, there's a good chance that Kyle could have showed up at Chip Ganassi Racing this year and still won. It's all about just kind of how the equipment's working and the setup and everything. But Kyle has that confidence, and he's going to carry it with him. And Chase Elliott, I think he's got confidence too, but you know, he don't want to finish second every week. He wants to win some of these things. So I brought that up, asked him how close he thinks, even though they got the win at COTA a few weeks ago, how close he thinks they are to being able to compete for some of these wins and fight it out with Larson.
With this run today, that's back-to-back second place finishes, do you feel like that you and your team are now starting to get into a rhythm and you can compete with Kyle for some of these wins?
I hope so. You know, we were, you know, solid today, just not good enough at the right times. I feel good about our group. You know, we have a solid group. We just got to put it all together and execute when it counts most.
I said it before we won at COTA, and I will say it again. Chase Elliott is going to win more than one race. He just is. I actually think that before the year is out, all four Hendrick guys will have multiple wins. Chase and Byron have one. I think they'll all have multiple wins. And, you know, I think Bowman gets another one. It just they're clicking on all cylinders right now, and I haven't really been able to see outside of Truex, and Truex has fallen off, even though he finished third, which was a good rebound for them. You know, I don't think anyone has really been able to compete with them that much this year. So we'll be interesting to see for the next point race when they go to the Ally 400 here at the Nashville Super Speedway. When we come back, we will talk to Kurt Busch. He's the driver of the number one Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet. We'll do that. And then Kyle Busch and Bubba Wallace as well. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Game Nashville. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. And as promised, this is a special show because we have the Busch brothers today. And we start with the oldest of the Busch brothers. Kurt is on the line with us. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you got the older and more handsome one.
Exactly. Let's talk about Sonoma. Good run for not only your team, but Chip Ganassi Racing as a whole. You finished sixth. Ross finishes right behind you in seventh. You know, who knows how strategy was going to play out? I mean, Larson had a heck of a car leading all those laps, but I know that had to feel good after the 600 to have that run at Sonoma for you guys.
Yeah, it was great. We executed with a nice, smooth day. Strategy, car, everything about the day was smooth. We haven't had that in a while, and so it was refreshing to get a solid race under our belt, and now we've got this push to get back towards the playoffs in these next 10 weeks.
What does a run like that do for confidence, not only as a driver, but the rest of the guys on your team as well?
You know, it just kind of shored up the bleeding. You know, we've just had all these random things from all directions keep happening to us. And so this is nice to get it band-aided up and get it shored up. And now it's like, all right, we know how to do this. Let's get this season back on track.
What's it been like working with Ross Chastain this year? Is, you know, you knew Matt, and with Kyle's situation when he left, you worked with Matt last year. But having Ross run the full schedule with you guys, what has that been like?
It's been good. There's been solid progress as far as his development. You know, he's not a rookie, but he doesn't have the experience at all the tracks just yet. With a good quality car and a good crew and just the sequence of events. And so now that he's got a good 10 races under his belt at all the variety of tracks, I told him, I said, hey, man, you got to grab another gear and apply everything now that you've got from this beginning part to everything you've done in the past and roll with us. And so it's good now to have this feedback going back and forth between the two cars. He had a solid run at COTA a couple weeks ago and then backed it up here at Sonoma. And so it's like, okay, now we've got both cars, I think, operating at the optimum, and now we've got to make a playoff push.
You mentioned stopping the bleeding and all of that. How much has the lack of, and everybody's faced with this, but the lack of practice and qualifying, which is where you can fine-tune a lot of things, we know the everything that we've been faced with for the past year and a half, how much has that hurt being able to maybe diagnose some of the things, even though you can't control bad luck? That's just going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it's part of the game. You know, it isn't helping the teams that are off a little bit. It's almost like the rich get richer or the good stay good with the lack of practice, because whatever's working for that good team, they carry it to next week. Where there's others like us, where we're trying to reach out a little bit and find some speed somewhere, and then it's like, oh, that wasn't it, and we got to go back to the drawing board. And sometimes we have to do that during the race itself. And so that's a lot going on when you're trying to gain stage points through the process as well.
What would you like to see the sport look like when we come out of this fully and we're seeing fans, you know, back in the stands, and a lot of tracks announced they're going to be at full capacity. Nashville is going to be at full capacity. So would you like to see the race weekend go back to how it was completely before COVID, or are there some things that you all have learned from this that might work moving forward?
Yeah, I think there's different tracks where different schedules work for different reasons. And, you know, practice on a Friday, qualifying on a Saturday, race on a Sunday. I mean, that to me is the most ideal situation. But then there's some of the tracks that we could just show up on Saturday, knock out a practice session, and then race on Sunday. But then the owners, what I think is going on here is the owners want just race day only. That way they don't have to prepare a backup car. And that, to me, I think is hurting the overall effort. Because when I look around at other motorsports, road racing, bikes, IndyCar, you name it, there's practice and qualifying going on for all other series other than NASCAR.
I mentioned coming to Nashville, and this city is so excited to have you all back racing here. You were at the banquet a few years ago that was here, but actually having the Cup Series in town is going to be awesome. You were part of a tire test. I was out there for a media day when you were shaking down the number one. What did you learn a lot being on that track, and that gives you a little bit of an advantage to be able to turn some laps? What are some things that you took away that you can apply to the race here in a few weeks in Nashville?
Yeah, it was great to get a one up on all the competitors by being out there for the Goodyear tire test. The tough part about it is the rude awakening of how abrasive the concrete surface is there. And it's as abrasive as it is because it hasn't been used in years. So whether it's snow, sleet, rain, ice, it's all carved into that concrete. And so it's really chewing up the tires. And so the baseline tire is a very hard tire, and it's going to make it where it's going to be pretty slick. And so that's good and it's bad. You know, it's going to create the tougher portion to drive, but also to be a little sketchy on some of the restarts. So it's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. It'll be exciting. And everybody's going to have to deal with the same slickness out there.
Why do you believe that this market in Nashville is so important to the sport, whether it's running at the Super Speedway, going back to the fairgrounds, having the banquet here? Why is Nashville so important to NASCAR?
It's a hot town that's got a lot of things going on, you know, and when you have that vibe and that energy from the town, it adds to the racetrack perfectly. It's similar to Vegas when we headed out there in the late 90s. You've got all those hotel rooms, you've got all that entertainment, all that action, and then boom, you get the race. It's almost like your dessert.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a party for sure. I mentioned having your brother on a little bit later. The mariachi band, Kurt, that was awesome. And not only did you have that for his birthday, but he ends up winning the race at Kansas. When did you kind of come up with that idea?
I came up with the plan. It was his birthday that Sunday, and we were the only two on the plane flying out afterwards. And I was like, you know, this kind of kicks off Cinco de Mayo week, because his birthday was May 2nd. And I'm like, this will get him in the mood. This will be fun. It'd be a nice little icebreaker to his birthday party that was going to happen later in the week. And then with him winning the race, it just added that much awesomeness to it. And it was one of those perfect surprises. He rolled with it. We literally just sat there in the airport by ourselves listening to a mariachi band. I mean, COVID's challenged us in many ways, and I thought that this would fit right in with all that.
You two are obviously competitive with not only each other, but with the rest of the field as well. But to be able to say that you're both Cup Series champions, to share that with the Labanis and maybe a couple others, but that's a pretty cool stat to have. What does it mean to you to share that with your brother?
You know, it's awesome. I mean, and it's a blessing, and we're very privileged in a sense to be able to have come this far and to have been able to put it all together. I mean, we were just kid racers out of Vegas doing it as family fun, and to have made it to the big time, that was something we never even dreamed about. And then to get here and race against all these legends and champions, and to travel the circuit, you know, it truly is. It's a blessing to be able to have been able to do it, and to do it this long as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you've had a heck of a career to this point, and don't show any signs of stopping. But you know how this works. There are rumors. What you're going to do next? What's the next move? So where are you at with that as you try to get things on track for this season, but also manage looking ahead to what you're going to do next year?
Yeah, that's the big question. For me and in my racer soul, I want to drive the next gen car. I was supposed to be out here this year on the circuit, and with COVID, it delayed things. And also, you know, our race fans, to me, going out this way isn't the right way. It's to go out in autograph sessions each week, and to go out to the sponsor appearances, and to have the midway action going on before the race. I want to try to find that normalcy, you know, on my way out. And so it's just a matter of getting things together with Ganassi and Monster Energy, Chevrolet, talking to other teams as well, and just trying to find the right fit for racing next year, even beyond that, and then also post driving, how to work within the management of a race team.
Well, very cool, and we'll be watching. Best of luck. It's always good to talk to you, and gonna look forward to seeing you here in Nashville in a few weeks.
Very cool, man. Thanks again.
And that is Kurt Busch, the driver of the number one Chip Ganassi Racing Chevrolet. Appreciate him for joining us on this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. When we come back, it's Kyle Busch, the driver of the number 18 Joe Gibbs Toyota. We'll do that next on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. And I told you this was going to be the Busch Brothers show, and we had Kurt earlier on the show, and now we say hello to the two-time champion, Kyle Busch. Kyle, appreciate you taking the time. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. How about yourself?
Doing well. Excited to have you guys back in Nashville. And you were here a few years ago for the awards banquet, which was awesome. But now we get to see racing at the Cup level for the first time since 1984. Now, you have raced out at the Nashville Super Speedway. You've raced at the fairgrounds. I mean, you've been all over the place, but you've won at the Nashville Super Speedway. What does it mean for NASCAR to be back in this market and having competitive races again?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's really good. You know, obviously, you know, being a part of the sport for so long now, being able to race at Nashville Super Speedway years ago in the ARCA Series, Truck Series, Xfinity Series, being able to win there in all three of those as well, too, was pretty cool. So being able to bring NASCAR, the Cup Series, back to Nashville is very special. We did see it a couple of years ago, like you said, for the Award Series banquet. But you know, I always kind of thought, hey, if we're bringing the awards banquet back to Nashville, I bet you there's a plan here, to see racing return to the Super Speedway. So I'm glad that came to fruition, and, we'll all be back out there. I mean, Nashville, country music, NASCAR, it all goes synonymous with one another. So it sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. And, like I said, we're all excited to have you here as well. What would it mean too? I mean, this, the whole fairgrounds thing is not done. You've raced in All American 400s out there. I mean, the potential of having a race at the Super Speedway, having something at the fairgrounds, you know, IndyCar's coming here with the Grand Prix. I mean, this is becoming a true racing city at multiple facilities.
It is, you know, I think it's pretty cool. Obviously there's a lot of excitement built around that. I hope the fans really do, you know, pour into these tracks and support the racing so that we can continue to keep coming back and keep bringing it back. You know, it's remarkable to hear and, you know, see that after almost 40 something years of the Cup Series not being in Nashville, that it's sold out to capacity. You know, tickets at the Nashville Super Speedway are gone for the Cup race, but yet there's still some that remain for the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Camping World Truck Series. So I'll be running in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday with my M&M Supra. And then I'll be in the Cup Series race, obviously, on Sunday with the Pedigree Toyota Camry. So looking forward to that and being there with a full weekend of racing.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be fun. And I figured you would do more than one race because that's what you do. Over 200 wins across the three national series. I mean, like anything with a steering wheel, you get in and you're competitive and you win. How do you keep those juices flowing of checking things off the list? You're a two-time Cup Series champion. What's kind of next for you and keeps you chasing after these goals year after year?
Well, I mean, to me, I think the Daytona 500 is obviously kind of the highest on the bucket list of a race that I haven't won yet that I want to win. You know, so that's number one. I think what was really cool was a few years ago, I was able to capitalize on winning at every single racetrack we went to at that time, at that current time. You know, I checked it off, and that was pretty cool. Not even Richard Petty, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, none of the sports greats have ever done that. So that one felt really, really good. But now that we've been to different venues, I've got to pick up back where I was and get to winning, you know. So hopefully we can cross Nashville off at the first time when we get there and win the inaugural event there with the Cup Series cars. And, you know, got to get back on the winning ways of going to Road America later this year. I missed out on COTA. Thought we had a shot to win that one earlier this year, but didn't come through. So, you know, that would be something cool to get back on.
Yeah. What was the whole racing in the rain like? It was crazy on TV. I can't imagine what it was like behind the wheel.
Yeah, the racing in the sprinkle was fine. The racing in the heavy downpour was not so good. It was really, really hard to see. Just our cars, I don't know if it's the tire and the water or our cars or what, but they just put up such a spray that, man, you can't see anything, you know? So it was hard to see a guy in front of you, whether he was 4 feet, 10 feet, whatever. It was, you know, they would just disappear as you would start picking up speed.
I mentioned having your brother on earlier, and I asked him, you know, racing against you and being competitive and you guys growing up in racing, but now it's family is different for you because Brexton is racing and starting his career at a very young age. What's that been like of being dad and trying to mentor him and also let him have fun at the same time?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I've definitely enjoyed it, you know, and it hasn't even been a year yet since he started. It was, you know, 10 months ago or so when we first got into a race car and had him start racing. And not too long into the year, he was winning in the cadet class and winning some races there. This year, we've bumped him up and moved him up a class. And he just won his first beginner box stock race is what it's called 2 weeks ago. And he's finished second this year, fourth a couple times. So he's been picking up on it. But the patience of the dad is definitely been a struggle. You know, I see the improvement and we're going in the right direction. And then it's like, there's a reset day and it's like, oh, okay, got to start over and you got to kind of go up and again and build his confidence again after finishing, you know, or having a bad night or whatever it might be. But no, he's doing really good. And what's cool too, is like off the track, you know, when he's away from the track and we're at home and I'm watching races on YouTube or watching races on TV or whatever. And he's asking me questions about it. He's invested in it as well too, and really picking up a lot more on it. So it seems as though he's becoming a racer himself. And just the other night, I was like, hey, do you want to go up with your mom and read some books before bed? Or do you want to watch some race videos of the tracks that we're going to race at this summer? You know, he's going to go run in Wisconsin and Illinois and Iowa and stuff like that. And he was like, I want to see some of those tracks. I want to watch race videos. So mom got left out for the night, but no, it's been fun.
Now, you don't like finishing second, as we all know. How does he react when he comes up just a little bit short?
And believe it or not, he's worse.
Really?
Yeah. he'll be leading the race or something like that, and he'll get passed for the lead, and he'll do a crossover and get the guy back, and the guy will cross him over and get him back. And they did that like three or four times the other night, and he ended up finishing second, but you can just kind of tell about halfway through when he couldn't figure out how to get back by the guy, he started to lose ground to him. Like, he kind of started to not give up a little bit, but you could tell he felt defeated. And so he was crying underneath the helmet when he got back into the pits, because he wasn't able to win, you know. And I was just like, man, you can't ever give up until it's over, man. You never know what's going to happen. You got to get up there and rattle that guy's cage and take it from him if you need to, you know. So we're working on that step a little bit still.
Yeah, he'll get to the point like you and Larson at Chicago, I think it was a few years ago. That was fantastic. Yeah. And I remember what you said when you got out of the car. And I got on this show and I said, I have no problem with what Kyle said of that's the type of racing and that you want to see as a race fan. And that's where your personality comes into play and what this sport needs. And the fans coming back, seeing that again, whether they boo you or cheer you, I know that has to feel good to have that back at the track of where they can decide, do they like Rowdy and how he rolls or do they not? That's gotta be cool.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, it's been so quiet for the last little bit that, man, you almost felt like you were just racing at test sessions with no fans there. But getting the fan back has been good. I think of how everything's kind of trying to get back to normal. And when the fans have come back and you go through driver intros and you get booed, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it's getting back to normal. All right, let's go. You know, so it's nice to see all of that and have that. Obviously, being able to sell these races to capacity has been good. Having many of these tracks start opening up to full capacity again for the summer months and leading on into the end of the year is going to be great for all of us as a sport, as well as many of the other sports too.
Something with the fans, I observed with you a couple of years ago. I was in Atlanta and I was with a buddy and we were hanging out before driver intros and all of you walked through. And I watched you stop at everyone that had M&Ms or any of your gear on. Take a picture, sign an autograph. I mean, you got a schedule, you got to get on stage, but I noticed that you made it a point. Anybody that was a member of Rowdy Nation, you stopped. And I have respected that about you ever since then, of that you acknowledge the people that acknowledge you.
Yeah, no doubt. That's right. You know, they're going through supporting me and being a part of Rowdy Nation. And we love that. And them cheering us on and backing us each and every week, whether we're winning, whether we're losing. Obviously, we want to be winning. We know what that feels like. So that's a good feeling. Everybody enjoys those days more than the other ones. But it just the ones that carry your gear to put up with the rest of them, you know, they obviously deserve more than the rest of the drivers can give to their fans. So taking care of those guys is what it's all about. So we appreciate them.
Something I wanted to ask you about, clearly you run for Joe Gibbs Racing now and have done a lot of winning, but you started your career for Rick Hendrick in that five car. To see him break that record, being the all-time winningest owner in NASCAR, you have a couple of those in your career. What, and I know you have said it time and time again, you still have a lot of friends over there. What did that mean to see him do that?
No, it's special. You know, I think anytime you're able to set records, break records, you know, beat records, whatever it might be, I think it's obviously a huge testament to how long guys have been able to sustain their business in the sport. I think that's one thing. I look at Rick as being one of those mentors of our sport and one of the great owners of our sport. My tenure there was a bit short-lived, I feel like, but, you know, Rick and I have remained friends over the years. And, you know, it's like you said, there's a few guys that still work over there that I'm friends with that I talk to and stuff like that too. So, me being a part of that history is remarkable. Obviously I only had four wins, so it wasn't a huge tally, but, still to be a part of that was a big deal. And, you know, I'd love to see what we could do at Joe Gibbs Racing to catch that. And, you know, and maybe one day be able to beat the Petty part and still chase the Hendrick part for many years to come.
As you guys get ready to come to Nashville, one thing that has been different the last year and a half, no practice, no qualifying. NASCAR is allowing that for new tracks. And so you got to see that at COTA and some places that you're visiting for the first time. How beneficial is that going to be coming to a place like Nashville that you haven't been to in over 10 years, even though you have raced here, you have that advantage over some of these guys, but how big is it going to be able to dial in the car?
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool with, you know, like you said, me not being there in 12 years, I don't even remember what it was like the last time I drove there. I remember it was the Xfinity race. I think I won the race, but you know, I'd have to go back and watch the videos of that and remember what exactly the track was like, how the track changed throughout the weekend, look at some of the practices and stuff like that, look at some of the truck races that went down, and just kind of remember the ways of being able to maneuver the track. You know, I mean, the cars change so much anyways, but just having a fresh perspective or an understanding of what you're looking to get yourself into is a big deal. Having practice for that weekend is beneficial. I'm also running the Xfinity race that weekend, so that I'll be practicing in the Xfinity car, qualifying that, practicing the Cup car, qualifying that. So I should have my fair share of experience by the time we get to race time too. So that should all be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And the All-Star race this weekend at Texas, first time doing that. It was at Bristol last year. Cool to see them move that event around. What are you expecting from Texas?
You know, I don't know. They've got a little different package that we're going there with, but I really don't think it's going to be a whole lot different than what we're used to. I think they're taking away, 30, 40 horsepower or something like that, just to kind of get us packed up and closer together a little bit more. You know, they're going to have the PJ1 down on the racetrack. So the bottom groove, the middle groove will hopefully work its way in to where you can run in both of those and be fast. Good side-by-side action. You know, the stages are short, so there's not going to be a whole lot of time for separation. You're going to have to be in a hurry because you have to finish well. There's going to be inversions and all that sort of stuff. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot going on, a lot to pay attention to or be ready for as a competitor, as a team and driver. But as a fan, just watch the race and watch the action. I'm sure it'll be intense.
Absolutely. Well, Kyle, this has been a lot of fun. It's good to catch up with you. And best of luck in the All-Star race, and we look forward to seeing you in Nashville.
Yeah, appreciate that. Looking forward to it. Thank you, man.
That is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. Appreciate him for joining us. Also, Kurt earlier in the show. We're not done with drivers, though. This is a very big driver show as we inch closer and closer to the All-Star race and, of course, racing from Nashville. Haven't talked to this guy in a while and excited to do so. When we come back, Bubba Wallace, the driver of the number 2311 Racing Toyota, will join us on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you. And as promised, we've had a loaded show today. We continue with Bubba Wallace, the driver of the number 2311 Racing Toyota. Bubba, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I know you have to be excited because I can remember a few years ago at Daytona Media Days when the city of Nashville was brought up. Everybody perked up about that. But this the NASCAR returning to Nashville in this market has to be a thrill for you guys because it's such a great racing city.
It is. You know, we've for me, I've been racing over the fairgrounds, you know, when I was coming up through the ranks when I was a kid. And didn't really know much about the Speedway. Had one test back in 2013, made a couple laps. But still, that was 8 years ago. So I'm going into it brand new. We'll get a little bit of time on the simulator. But Nashville's such a great town for, I mean, everything. Music, events, sports. You know, you name it, Nashville's got it all. So for us to just be going back to the city is really special for a lot of us in the field.
Why do you think that this city is important to a sport like NASCAR that is constantly growing and evolving, but now coming back to a city that, you know, is from its roots?
Yeah, I mean, it's a southern city for sure, and southern sport. So the roots are there, the ties are there. So it's just bringing back to a lot of people that, say, travel to Atlanta, travel to Bristol, Kentucky, you know, those venues that are there, these people can get a little bit shorter drive, come out and enjoy one of their favorite sports and cheer on their favorite drivers. So Eric and his staff, hearing them talk about all the work that they've done and will continue to do until race day, you know, it's exciting for everybody, from the drivers, for the fans, the crew members. So it'll be cool.
Eric, how excited are you to see a young driver with the talent of Bubba Wallace take to your track for the inaugural Ally 400?
Well, Chase, you know I'm stoked about this whole thing and about bringing Cup Series racing back to Middle Tennessee, and for these fans who have been waiting for it for almost four decades to be able to see the best of the best, and Bubba included. He and I were talking earlier about when we first met last August, and he talked about his connection to this marketplace, which made my ears perk up because I know how popular a driver he is, and that people are going to want to see him as well as all the rest of the Cup Series drivers who are going to be out here competing for this crown.
Yeah, absolutely. And we cannot wait for the show coming up in a couple of weeks. Bubba, year one of 2311 racing, and obviously with a new race team, even though you have the alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, there's going to be a lot of things to figure out. You're coming out of a pandemic, starting a race team, but what has this journey been like for you and getting things going with 2311?
Yeah, it's been a process, no doubt. It's definitely a lot of fun and a lot of challenging times, but it seems like we have all the right people to help us guide our way through those challenging times and still end up with good finishes, good results. So it's fun working with the caliber of guys we have over 2311 Racing, and having Denny and MJ, you know, leading the calls and making things happen behind the scenes to help make our program better has been really cool and cool to understand and see their mindsets going into it. So got a long season ahead of us still, a lot of racing left to do. So we still got a lot of work to do, but I'm excited in the direction that we're heading.
Was one of the most appealing things about this to you being able to work with Denny? Denny's a proven winner. The fact that he's not a champion is surprising to a lot of people because he's a championship caliber driver, but to be able to not only work for him, but lean on him, learn things from him. How beneficial has that been?
Yeah, it's been nice to, you know, hear, you know, what, you know, he does for preparation leading up to races or post-race ideas that he has and just how we can be better as a team. So he's definitely been a leader in that standpoint, definitely going to give his opinion where he believes that he can help in our weak points. And then he's also taking an ear to some of the strong points that we do have to help him be better. So just all in all, both of us trying to push each other and push our organization to be the best that we can be.
What did it mean to you when this was announced, this all came together, and you see all these sponsors come on board wanting to not only support this race team, but support Bubba Wallace?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, it's having people that you don't necessarily – you know, think about and know that they're thinking about you as just trying to be their driver or, you know, come back and stand behind and support. So definitely appreciative, humbling, you know, no doubt. You definitely can't take it for granted. There's always that next driver that's ready to take your seat. So I got to make sure I'm doing everything I can, dotting every I, crossing every T, and just doing the best and being the best that I can be.
You mentioned MJ. I watched that interview that you guys did for the Daytona 500. I think that was the first time you had actually met him in person. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up in the 90s watching the Bulls, a huge Michael Jordan fan. The fact that he's your car owner, one of your car owners, that's got to be awesome.
It is. You know, I've gotten a chance to sit down with him a couple of times now. And you know, at the same time, I'm like, man, this is cool. You know, hearing him understand things, but then on the other side of things, I'm like, man, it's badass. I'm sitting here with MJ and hear him, you know, chop it up with MJ. So there's two sides of it, but mostly trying to keep it, you know, business related and get things done on and off the racetrack.
Bubba, the last year for you, switching teams and everything that has gone on, watching the sport grow, become more diverse, what have you learned about yourself over the last year with everything that has happened?
Yeah, I definitely feel like I've matured a lot. Had a better understanding of who I am as a person in this crazy place we call the world and call life. Figuring out, you know, kind of my purpose in life. And so just when you think you got it figured out, there's always something there to test you and to make you think another way. So, yeah, just got to keep going, just trying to be the best human being that I can be and encourage others to do the same.
So as we wrap up, you mentioned getting in the simulator and, you know, iRacing has skyrocketed, you know, through the pandemic and everything. We've all used that, but how beneficial is the simulator
to drivers, especially when you don't have practice and qualifying most weeks. You're going to a track, as you mentioned, like Nashville, that you don't have a lot of experience. How close are these things now to the real thing?
Yeah, it's, you know, spending a lot of time on the sim is definitely beneficial. You can spend too much time on there and create some bad habits, but, you know, for me, never really seeing the place, or I guess forgetting about Nashville 8 years ago, it'll be good to kind of rekindle that flame and get things going, get the blood flowing again, get the juices going, and just get into a rhythm there, because that's what it's going to be about when it comes race time.
Well, we can't wait to see that number 23 out on the track at the Nashville Super Speedway. I know it's going to be a lot of fun. And Eric, I know you're excited to have Bubba and all of his competitors out there coming up Father's Day weekend on June 20th. Guys, appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Jay.
There you go. Bubba Wallace, Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. It has been, as they say, a stacked and packed edition of Chasing Checkers this week. My thanks to Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, and of course, Bubba Wallace and Eric Moses for joining us. Usually we have Sunday money. We're going to do that a little different. It is All-Star Weekend. So you can tune in before the race on our social media channels at @Chasing_Checkers on Twitter, at Chasing Checkers Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And that is where you will find Sunday money for the All-Star race, as I will put those odds out there from BetMGM and help you make some money. I mean, is it going to be Kyle Larson again? Is he going to be the one to win the All-Star race and continue his hot streak, or is somebody else going to come through? Chase Elliott won it last year at Bristol. So we will see. We will break it all down and get you ready for Nashville Race Week on next week's edition of Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.